five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Real Bourbon Bros podcast, the essential podcast for the novice yet curious whiskey enthusiast.
All right, guys, we are back. We have made it back from Europe.
Yes, we're in one piece.
Yes, the German police did not confiscate us for the items we had stowed away in the nether regions. Anyway, that's another topic.
What about the Polska?
Polska.
Polska police.
Yeah, we'll do a recap, guys. Full recap of our 2024 Real Bourbon Bros Polish and German trip. And Steve actually went to Prague before, so he'll have to
Vacation.
Yeah, there it is, European Vacation 2024. But we'll get into that later in the pod. Welcome back. Thanks for listening again. Hopefully, everybody's doing well out there. We'll have Searching for Pappy coming up here soon. We have a lot of new bottles to talk about. And a big thank you to one of our suppliers of the brown juice. So we appreciate them. Yeah. Suppliers. So hopefully everybody's doing well. Follow us on social media. We're trying to keep that up. And if you've been following, you know, we were in Europe for almost 2 weeks. I think it is short of 2 weeks there. I had a great time. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But before we get to that, Steve, how are you doing? I don't think I didn't ask you how you're doing tonight.
I'm doing great. I mean, it's springtime here in Southern Michigan. Wife's out there cutting grass.
Oh, put her to work.
Sun's out today. It's getting kind of humid out here.
Oh yeah, what's your temps?
April showers. Yeah,
it was 90 here in Tampa. So, it's not as humid as it's going to be in another month, but definitely not spring anymore. So, it was a good day. Good day. Can't complain
really
when it's sunny.
I'm starting to get out in the sand. I'm a sand volleyball player. If nobody knows.
Ooh, he's a semi-pro, guys. Don't let him fool you.
Quiet. So I'm, going to have the guys over playing some sandball at my court here, and can't wait. Can't wait to hit the sand.
See, when you have your own personal volleyball court, sand volleyball court in your backyard, you're semi-pro.
Well,
you saw the semi-pro. The semi-pro movie with Will Ferrell playing basketball for the.
Oh yeah,
that's the you in the sand volleyball.
Yeah, that's pretty much sums it up right there.
You got the tight shorts on. He's got the hair.
Kind of good, but not.
He thinks he owns the team, telling everybody what to do, drinking before and after the game. It's you.
We do drink a lot.
Oh god!
Burger night. That's my burger night.
Burger night. You have burgers too?
Oh yeah, we have bourbons.
What? Oh, bourbon.
Bourbon and burgers.
Oh, okay.
In beer. Well,
the three B's, the three must have.
Three B's. Yeah.
Bitches isn't one of them. Okay, I'll take that.
No, looking forward to the summer. It's gonna be a good 2024. A lot of stuff happened this summer.
Yeah.
Good spring. Good European vacation we had.
Yep.
And getting back into the swing of things with some good bourbon.
Yes. Steve, what did you get this week in Searching for Pappy?
So
we got a new release of the Ezra Brooks 99 proof.
Thank you, Patrick Berry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is for our review here. This one I was going to do a short tasting here online. Maybe I'll get to that after we finish this segment. But this is the special cask finish series. It's, of course, 99 proof.
99.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Price-wise, it's $34.99.
What's the ABV on that?
49.5. Yeah, there you go. Well,
that was a trick question.
Yeah, trick. But the mash bill, 78% corn, 10% rye, 12% malt.
Ooh, a little malted barley. All right. Nice.
Yeah, so it should be a good spicy bottle for me to try. got three other bottles, but what did you
let
get?
Let me piggyback on that real quick. So Ezra Brooks, great, great Lux Row product. Also, I want to thank, I know we thanked him earlier, but Patrick Berry, thank you so much. Our PR guy over at Lux Row Distilling. Yes, thank you. He was very kind to send me a media copy of Blood Oath Pack 10.
Pack 10. Nice. Okay. Very nice. Yeah. I like their Blood Oath products.
Yeah. So this one, the media release was on the 23rd of April. This is our annual release of the Pact series. This is their 10th one. Like I said earlier, suggested retail price $129.99. Proof is a 98.6. They're a limited supply, I think, of only 51,000 of these bottles will be produced. 51,000 total. So not a limited release, but that's not a whole lot of bottles either, because I know how popular the Pack 10 are. People collect all of them, right? They're up to 10 now. I think I have six. I have six.
I'm looking at six. I have Pack number 7, which was released in 2021.
Yeah, I have from 2020. So yeah. Real quick, mash bill. Do I get a mash bill on this thing? I do not see a mash bill on the press release here. So we'll maybe have to do some research and get back to you on that one. But everybody knows Blood Oath and Pack and their Pack bottles. So this is going to be a hit. I have not opened the sample yet. I just love how it looks, this little media sample. But I will definitely crack it at some point and give everybody our or my opinion on it and kind of go from there. What it says in the press release... Guys, speed up.
No.
It says in the press release.
Say something about the packs. Okay, go ahead. Press release time.
Yeah, press release. Sorry. Yeah, combines some of the finest rare bourbons that Lux Row offers with two well-bred rye bourbons and one finished bourbon, each complementing the others in honor of Blood Oath's double-digit age milestone. There's three different whiskeys here that are kind of blended together, it sounds like. And this one, the first finished was perfected in Cabernet Franc barrels. The second was refined in Merlot barrels.
Okay.
What about the third one? Doesn't say it. Tell me about the third one.
It's interesting.
Yeah. So it's a combination of a few products, so it sounds like.
So The earlier packs, I was going to say, I didn't know what Salterness barrels are.
Salterness?
Salterness. They're French oak barrels used to age Salterness. It's a sweet white wine from the Bordeaux region of France. So okay. I think each Blood Oath is probably finished in a different way, maybe.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Yeah, actually, let me reread this. It says, including two well-bred rye bourbons. So the ones I gave you were the rye bourbons and their finishes. And one finished bourbon with complementing the others. Okay.
Nice.
So yeah, everybody, you know how good Blood Oath is. Get out there. Should be out there to find. $130 is MSRP. I'm sure the secondary taters will be jacking that price up to over $200. Really? So try to get one while you can.
When you go there, you know, they give you a little coffin to put it in, right? Little
the wood box. Yeah.
That's always looks nice on the bourbon shelf, right?
Good timber for the bonfire. No, just kidding. Save that one.
Don't forget the bottle.
Yeah. All right. See what else you got.
Well, I got to, after a long hiatus, I got to visit some of the liquor holes. What Gary picked up a few weeks ago, but I got the Jack Daniel's 10-year.
Yay!
So I'm excited to have some sips of that this weekend.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Also got the Bottled in Bond, 1792.
Nice.
Something to add to my collection. It's got a nice yellow ribbon on its neck here. Mm. So, yeah.
100 proof. Not too tight.
Oh, Bottled in Bond. No, hopefully not. Cut out circulation. And then, of course, I love Novi Party Store's store picks.
Kelvin!
Kelvin, shout out! So Old Soul. I've seen a lot of people online doing the crotch shots with this one, but nice. Old Soul, it's the straight bourbon whiskey. This particular store pick from Novi Party Store, the Old Soul Train, comes in at 122.15 proof.
Ooh, that's a puncher.
It is. And he knows how I like proofs over 100. So, yeah, this was a good collect.
Ditto.
Good addition to my collection.
Nice.
I like the last year's version, too. So.
Nice. But, no, that's a good collection. No Pappy yet, though.
Huh? No Pappy. Although, we'll talk about this and what our experiences were in Europe, right?
Yes, exactly. So good transition there. That wraps up Search for Pappy. We had an outstanding, I mean, we've had a few great trips together, but our heritage is Polish. So getting back to the motherland, as I say, because we've actually never been, and we were born in the States. So, you know, the spiritual home of the Polacks, where our families were from. So, getting back to the first time was a great experience. And we're going to kind of walk you through some of the highlights. But Steve, you went a couple days before we did.
Yep.
You and your wife went to Prague.
Prague in the Czech Republic, right?
Czech Republic. Yes, yep. Exactly. What was the scene like there in terms of maybe the culture, the flow, and then also the whiskey culture?
It was amazing if you've ever been there. And we were there for 2 days, probably not enough. I mean, we took it easy. It was one full day of just traveling around. I think we left overnight. And the food was amazing. I think we'll talk about this a little bit later, but you know, if you're searching for bourbon, you don't want to go to Europe, right?
No.
But if you want to get some good scotch, and you know, they have all the, you know, the regular scotch, but you have to try some of the local stuff as well. In Prague, I never really got out to some of the, you know, the bars that would sell the high end scotch, or even, you know,
just the regular. You weren't there long enough. Yeah.
Wasn't there long enough, but, had a few brewskis, really good beer they have there. Wasn't flat like German beer, but it was extremely nice weather there. So we got to go see the Prague Castle.
Nice, nice little pics. Yeah,
Charles Bridge is another good place you want to go see there.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The vantage points you guys had of the whole city. I don't know if you were in a castle or in a mountain or a hill.
That was in one of the panoramic, bell towers, right?
Yeah, the panoramic views. We could probably put a couple of those up too on social media. The panoramic view of the city were breathtaking from my viewpoint.
Yeah, the Prague Castle is one of the largest.
Steeples.
Area, I don't know, like the Pentagon is. It's a
government building
or
compound.
Complex. That's what it complex. Is. It's one of the largest complexes that, you know, official government complexes in the world. So
all right, very cool. So you had a good time in Prague.
Yeah.
So that was a Thursday through a Saturday.
You got there Saturday night. Yeah.
Okay, so Friday and Saturday, and then you met my wife and I up in Krakow, Poland.
Krakow, yeah.
Early Krakow. Morning on Sunday. So
one thing I wanted to say is our travel there was on train, but we took the overnight train.
Yes. Nice pictures, by the way.
We failed to obtain a sleeper car. If you're traveling in Europe, I would say that.
Traveling Temp 101 for the Real Bourbon Bros.
Traveling Tip 101. And we read about this online. We, you know, just the train that we decided on to go, that was the right time and all that, did not have any sleeper compartments available.
Wah, wah,
and
wah.
So it was not a very good night. But one tip is get online and reserve your car as soon as they open up. Like you can open up like I think a month before your trip. Yep. So yeah.
Yeah, because those probably go pretty quick. I mean, obviously, the people traveling overnight don't want to sit up in a seat, you know, a cabin with six, other, four or five other people and no ability to sleep. So,
but if you're traveling with a budget, yeah, by all means, get, you know,
don't, it is what it is. Yeah.
It's more expensive.
Yeah. Well, you made it safely to Krakow on Sunday morning. Then you met up with myself and my wife in Krakow. We had arrived on Saturday night in Krakow. And we got to check into our Airbnb, which was overlooking Old Town Krakow. If you don't know a lot about Poland, Krakow is the touristy area of Poland. And Old Town Krakow is the most touristy part of Poland. With that all being said, I was super impressed with how clean it was, with all the birds and all the tourists and everything.
Clean it daily.
You know, how clean it was, how it wasn't a lot of, there wasn't, I didn't see any panhandlers, beggars. I didn't see any like homeless people, you know, it was very clean. There's a good police presence, you know, there's a police station actually right down in the Old Town area. It was very safe for everybody. I felt very safe. My wife felt very safe. And we were there, very clean, very beautiful city. Again, a lot of architecture that was not, you know, destroyed during World War II. Krakow was pretty much left unscathed by the German and Allied bombs. So it was great to see that architecture from 400, 500, 600 years ago, especially the churches. Yeah, the churches were amazing. So I really, really enjoyed Krakow. I have a lot more to say. Obviously, but I'll let Steve get a word in here before.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Old Town, I think it was affordable. I mean, it wasn't. Airbnb or VRBO or one of those things. And awesome place. We did a tour, a golf cart tour of, you know, the ghetto area, which was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Old Town, which is, you know, and the town square and so forth. Of course, we had to find the liquor holes, right?
Yes. There were a few of them in Krakow. Yeah. Definitely easy to find them.
You know, there was one you had to go down downstairs in, which was really cool.
Yeah, the bar.
That was our first experience, I think, right, Gary?
Yeah.
Single Skeena. Yeah.
Yeah. 21. Yeah. It was, 21. It was like a very, what's the word? Not an obvious, bar by any means looking from the outside. You walk by these older European cities and a lot of the buildings are older and a lot of them have basements that you don't know about. And it's just maybe a door, a normal door that you'd walk into, like say a bathroom or something. It like opens up three stories beneath the, surface into this sprawling like whiskey bar with three or four different rooms. One room has live music, the other room has a different bar and seating area, and then the one room you come into is the main bar. So that was a great experience. I think it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We stopped by like, hey, let's check this place out, because it was warmer that day. Heard, you know, the cool breeze coming from this basement. We're like, oh, let's go down here. Very modern. And I think I had a Bushmills 21 year.
I had a very good price. That's when we started realizing that, hey, this is a good opportunity to expand our Scotch palate, right?
Or an Irish whiskey too.
And Irish whiskey, yes.
Of course. European whiskeys, I would say, just because they don't have the tariffs and the transportation charges, you know, shipping to the U.S. So I think my 21 was maybe like $20, $25.
Oh yeah, very reasonable prices. Yeah,
I was like, are you kidding me? Because that bottle is like over $250. So. Right. Really enjoyed that. We had a great time there. And we came back there later that night. They had live music playing. And I think I had like an 18 year Glenlivet, maybe? No, Ebelauer 18 I had later that night. But great, great vibes, very clean, not a lot of people. But I really enjoyed that. Then Rumor, the cocktail bar, we got to mention that.
Oh, yes. The Bubblies.
Yeah, the Rumor.
And of course, we had to entertain the ladies too. So
they
had their little fancy drinks and
their cocktails.
I can't remember what some of those drinks were called, but
yeah,
that was pretty good. I heard a Rumor. Yeah,
I heard a rumor. Yeah. So that was in Krakow, and everything about Krakow, I mean, not everything, but everything we experienced, a lot of the places we went to are very close in Old Town. You could walk to pretty much everything. So that was very nice. And we just kind of walked bar to bar, did our research where we're going to go to next. So we really benefited from the proximity. Yeah. Heard a rumor. I was looking at some of the pictures here, but that was a great time. So that wrapped up our first day, I believe, there. The second day took a little different turn as we had the honor, I would say, and the privilege of touring Auschwitz and Birkenau, just about an hour or so from Krakow. So we took a tour down to the concentration camps. And my personal opinion is, I think it's one of those experiences that we can't really describe with words. You have to, or pictures really, you have to go there yourself and be there. Cause you can feel the spirit and the history a lot more when you're there, and just imagine, you know, this horrible acts that have, that happened there about 80 years ago and still feeling those effects today. I would highly recommend those two.
Kind of eerie looking at some of the pictures, like the first Jews to arrive there, they had their pictures taken, you know, and put on the walls, and they had hundreds of these pictures. And
originally, when they started.
And in Auschwitz, and you know, it's, you know, we're looking at some of the names, and some of the names we recognize that name. You know,
those are names that we're related to these names. Yeah.
So it was kind of surreal there. Yeah.
But if you get an opportunity, we highly recommend. I mean, I wouldn't say there's not like highlights, right? Because that's maybe a disrespectful word, but definitely the most memorable event for me was going there to Auschwitz and Birkenau. Just the magnitude of the Birkenau camp, how big it was. I think they said at one time they had over 150,000 people in that camp.
Amazing, yeah.
And over 1.5 million people were killed during the duration of the war, 41 to 44. I believe they said so. Highly recommend it. Yeah, and there's not an easy transition after that, but we went to the salt mine. The
salt mines, which,
yeah, the same day.
I was freaking amazed about it. It was like a small city underneath, like 200 meters underneath the surface. Earth, you know.
Yeah, and we would say, course, go ahead, Steve. Yeah,
of course. In salt mines, you take the stairs all the way down. Yeah. But thankfully they have an elevator at the end, so you don't have to climb the stairs all the way up. But it was amazing the work that the workers had put in. And of course they give you the history and all that, and Gary, you're the history buff here, about how it started and what the workers had to do, and you know, back when they discovered salt in the ground there, and then they started mining it and went deeper and deeper, and pretty soon it's a small city down there. And
yeah, I think they said 400 years ago it started, something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, and we don't think of it, like we think of a salt mine, this huge open cavernous divot in the earth's surface. It's not like that. There's a building over top of it. Now, obviously they probably built that more recently than 400 years ago, but you go into this, almost like a museum you think you're going into, but then you suddenly take these stairs down 63 flights of stairs. And the great thing, and some people may not agree with me on this, but I love that in other countries, they don't have all the rules and regulations the states do, because there's no litigation. There's not as much litigation, that these stairs were hitting your head on the next tier of stairs, if you weren't paying attention. They were narrow.
They had yellow tape on it, but
yellow tape. But I love that. It was so real and authentic. Yeah. It wasn't commercialized. It wasn't Americanized, as I put it. It was authentic Polish. And, you go down there and there's water, there's salt water, there's the brine. We got to taste that, and it was very salty. The walls, you just put your finger on the wall and taste your finger. It was all salt. And they made all these different figurines and everything. There was an altar down there. There was a hall for mass and for celebration, like, for weddings. They really modernized it. But obviously it's not an active mine, I don't believe, anymore, they said. But
they do get some stuff out of it. But of course,
not commercial.
They had some theatrics down there as well. You know, some scenes that you can go through, and they, you know, lights and stuff like that. It was rather. Our tour guide was brand new.
He was good though. Yeah.
He was good. But it was a great experience.
Great and they
end of the day there.
Yeah. And it was really nice because it was getting warm. Yeah. It was about 80 degrees in Krakow that day and it was getting warm. So we got to go underneath the ground, like as Steve said, a couple hundred meters and it was about 65 degrees. So it was really nice actually. We needed that break, but that was highly recommend the Krakow, salt mines as well. That was a good day for us, a long day, but we were able to get back to our Airbnb, rest up. And then we went to dinner at Albertina Michelin 2023. Not the best experience, but, if it's your thing, check it out. I would like to talk about the nightcap cause we went to nightcap. A couple bars.
You read my mind.
Yeah, because we went to a bar that was just below our Airbnb. They had live music and had a brewski there, which was really nice. Looking the courtyard of Old Town. I really like that. And then we went to Speakeasy. Mr. Spot?
Was that the next? That was the next day.
Oh, that was the next day. Oh, we went to.
You and I went to and had a nightcap.
Right, that's right. That the brewski was the next night. Okay, yeah, it was.
We can do that for another podcast.
Yeah, so that was a good night. Yeah, we had an Abelauer, Abuna, Elba.
Elba, yes.
Highly recommend this one. I had it a few years ago when it first came out, but I was so surprised. The Elba is obviously the scientific name for the American oak. This is. Because the Scotch, the Elba, is finished in American bourbon barrels. So it gives it like a bourbon finished taste, which I really enjoyed.
124, 125.
Yeah. It has a punch to it. Yeah.
Proof. Yeah.
So that was that day. And then the next day, we kind of toured around Wawel Castle. And Krakow, it's like the largest castle per in terms of square meters, feet in Europe, I believe they said. Very cool experience there. Again, a lot of different history. Then we went to the Jewish quarter, the Jewish ghetto portion of Krakow. Had a couple brewskis there. The street pizza they talk about. And then I think later that night, we went on our little golf cart tour of the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Dinner that night was really good as well. We had a local Polish restaurant where we had some ribs. That was a really good meal. Forgive us guys, cause we can't pronounce half these Polish names. So even though
not at all, but you know, if I think we might be able to, pull some stuff up there, just recommendations or just not really recommendations, but really the experiences that we've had, some of the places that we hit. Of course, you know, that's one out of many places, you know, you can go and, you know, your experiences are going to vary. But, you know, Krakow, we had really, it's an older, you know, town, not destroyed by the war. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away just by how nice the streets were and how available the towns and the markets were and the prices, you know, for the American dollar was.
Oh yeah. Demanding. Zloty.
Yeah, Zloty. Yeah.
It was 4-1 US. So four Zloty to $1. So, and this is the joke I made to my wife. There was more people that could speak English in Poland than there can in Tampa. So that was, I work in an area of my career is where I deal with a lot of people and there's a lot of people that come and see me. They don't speak English, so we'll leave it at that. Yes. But I didn't have anybody in Poland that really didn't speak English that we ran into. And I was
and a lot of people. I mean, I guess half the people we met were not native Polish. I mean, a lot from from Ukraine and neighboring Russia. Countries. So,
All right, then we went on to Warsaw, the capital of Poland, a totally different city as it's very modern. Warsaw was rebuilt after World War II. It was 90% destroyed by the German bombs. It was part of the Blitzkrieg, Hitler's lightning war to take over all these European countries within 6 weeks or less. Poland was the first to fall to Hitler's Blitzkrieg, and We had a great time in Warsaw as well. They had an old town there, which was totally rebuilt after World War II.
Yeah, it was old town, new town, right?
Yeah, old town, new town. But great food. I mean, we probably had our best meal, a couple meals in Warsaw.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do a vodka tasting.
The vodka museum.
The elite, the elixir. Yeah. Yeah, the elixir. I remember that. That's the name of the vodka.
That was the bar that we went to after the tasting.
Right.
The museum.
Yep.
So we didn't do the museum. The museum was part of the vodka tasting experience there, but it was kind of like a two story little house behind the building there, and if you wanted to go, I think it would have been a good experience, but they just had a lot of bottles, a lot of history about the vodka.
We wanted to taste it.
Yeah, we went there to taste it and bring home a few bottles, right?
Yeah, so funny story. I went to this vodka tasting little house, and this gentleman was the only one running the tasting and the museum at the same time. And we were the only people there to begin with, so we tried a couple samples. And then we were leaving. We asked him for a place where we could try like a vodka bar. He's like, I have a place for you. So he, by this time, other people had came into the museum and the tasting, probably, I don't know, three or four other people in there. And he's like, I can show you. I'm like, no, you just tell us, you have people here, you have customers. He's like, no, it's fine. No problem. No problem. So he takes us outside, takes us around about another block or two. While these people are in his store, he just left it. Nobody else was there as a worker except him. Took us around a block or two, all the way up to the main drag, and then finds the Elixir vodka bar for us. Opens the door, I'm like, is he getting a paycheck from them too? But yeah, he was so kind, so polite. But it was just like nobody in America would do that. Like he just left his shop and I'll show you, and just like, all right, it was like a 3-4 minute walk he took us on. So by the time he got back, but we went to the Elixir vodka bar. They had over 1,000 vodkas. And I actually bought a wheated vodka, Polish wheated vodka that you only can buy in Poland. So I had that to come home with. So that was one of the bottles I bought.
Yeah, they had three bottles, right? Of course, they had the potato vodka.
Of course. And a rye.
And then a rye. And then
and a wheat. Yeah. Yeah. So that was an excellent experience.
Not too bad.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. The drink Zdrowie, the drink of our homeland, of our motherland. Oh, the place we stayed at in Warsaw overlooked the town. We were on the 15th floor or something, 16th floor.
Yeah, pretty high.
Beautiful view with a balcony over the sky. We could see the whole town. A lot of skyscrapers in Warsaw, very modern. We had a liquor store. There's so many liquor stores in Warsaw, I thought. There were so many of them. Liquor hole.
Right. And when we landed, when we got off the train, what did we do?
Find
the nearest liquor store.
Yeah, and we posted a couple of pictures. I think they had Blanton's Gold, regular Blanton's, and Blanton's from the barrel.
Yeah,
I think Blant and Steve. What happened?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mention that, but that was all part of this little review of our trip, though. But I got Blanton's from the barrel.
Yay! Your first one.
And for like, it came down to $150.
$150, okay. Yeah. But we'll tell you, the caveat is that these are 700 milliliters instead of 750.
$750. Yes, that's true.
That's the caveat, but still a very good price. Blanton's Gold, I think, was like 130, and Blanton's was 100. So that's how means Steve is getting bored of me talking, and he's starting to drink. So
what does that mean? That means it's bourbon.
It's liquor time.
Well, as we talk about the trip, I thought that I would go ahead and pour me some Ezra Brooks.
Go ahead, sir. Nobody is stopping you.
Nobody's stopping me? Are you sure? Oh, stop. No.
Well, you said you put your wife to work. So
she just got in those.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there you go.
Better hurry up and down that thing.
Yeah.
So we're in Warsaw. The liquor store was right next to our hotel, or our Airbnb, my apologies. The first night we were there, we had this probably the best dinner I had on the trip. It's a traditional Polish restaurant. It was called Restaurant Portretowa. I probably mispronouncing that. But it was right at the outskirts of Old Town.
Exactly.
And yeah, it was amazing. It was this quaint little room / restaurant of maybe, 15 people they can hold. And I got the potato pancakes with goulash on top and Polish sausage with sauerkraut and potatoes.
A true Polish meal, yes.
Oh, it was amazing.
So you must be looking at pictures because I didn't take a picture of my food.
But yeah, I'm looking at, I went back and looking at the pictures. I think everybody had a really
good. What was on my plate then?
I'm looking right now. Hold on.
Oh,
hold on. I got
there
it.
You are. Oh, wait. I did take a picture.
I could share it.
Here. I got a picture.
There you go.
Yeah, I got, well, yeah.
You had beets, I think. What are those beets? Yeah, they love their beets.
Oh, those beets were good. Oh, and this was it wasn't gnocchi, but it was a goulash.
Oh yeah,
by goulash, the goulash over in Poland, and I had the goulash in Prague, and it was really good. But it's not like, I don't know. I think Gary and I, you're used to the macaroni, the noodles. And
tomato sauce. Yeah.
You put the
that's horrible.
Beef in there, you mix it all up, and that's your goulash.
But no.
This
was traditional. Yeah, this is traditional.
Extremely tasty. It was basically
homemade. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all beef, roast beef.
Roast beef, potatoes, carrots, thicker dark sauce, maybe some beans in there. Yeah, it was delicious. Yeah, we really had a great meal there. Then we did some karaoke later that night. That was funny to listen to the Polish people sing. I'll be posting a video of that maybe in my social media. I could probably make a video out of the dancing and all that crazy stuff. And that was a nightcap. We came back, and the next day we kind of walked around Old Town, had probably the best pierogies for lunch the next day. That I've ever had, nice and thick. Six of them fill you up. I had the meat ones; they're like an inch thick of meat. Also, we found out that Polish are very good at making chicken noodle soup without the chicken, just the broth, the carrots, and the noodles.
Without chickens.
Yeah, but it was delicious. And then their apple crisps, like an apple pie. So highly recommend those dishes if you ever make your way to Poland. I think we did a tour of Warsaw, World War II tour of Warsaw, which was very beneficial in terms of our education of the area. Just amazing stuff. We were actually in the former Jewish ghettos where the Jews were placed by the Nazis before they sent them to the concentration camps. We were actually in those neighborhoods and saw some of the older buildings with bullet holes and everything that were left over from World War II. A lot of it's been rebuilt. 90% of it's been rebuilt. Which is amazing. I think the stat was 50 million man 50 million man hours were volunteered by the Polish people to rebuild Warsaw after the war. That just blows my mind. But anyway, resilient people.
Yay.
Anything else on Poland, Steve?
We
did. Oh, I have one more thing to add.
Yeah. I think the night that we had to walk a long time to get to the whiskey bar.
But before that.
Before that, in Old Town.
Right. You had Glenn Farkless, 15-year, right? Single malted scotch, barrel proof, Polish exclusive. Then there's I don't know what those birds are. There's woodpeckers.
Like woodpeckers. Yeah. Woodpeckers.
Yeah. But there's woodpeckers on the label. You only can buy this in Poland. So after I found that out, I was like, I got to find this bottle. So the next day, after an hour of looking, I found it for about $150. And so I brought that bottle home too. A Polish exclusive Glenfarclas 15-year single malt scotch, which is amazing.
That was amazing. Bayside,
nice and light. So, but then after that bar, we walked around and we went to Dom Whiskey.
Yeah, Dom Whiskey. Yeah. Which was a freaking gold mine.
If
any of you bourbon drinkers out there, if you're interested in going to a nice place in Warsaw, we can hook you up.
Dom Whiskey, I mean, this place we walked into, and it was like a big, first floor, the really high ceilings, and in the middle of it was this circular bar with all these bourbons on and whiskeys on.
You have to go upstairs for that, right?
Right. And then we're like, hey, where do you guys have any allocated or like better whiskey? You know, 'cause we're being like snob Americans. And they're like, oh yeah, we have a whiskey bar upstairs. I'm like, we're like, yeah, sure. So we went upstairs and we were, you know, 'cause every place is like, oh, we have whiskey in Europe. We're like, yeah, sure. But we were blown away by the variety. I think I got a 7-year Willett.
You got a
12-year Whistle Pig.
Yeah. And old world Whistle Pig.
Yeah. Awesome. And then, yeah, there was so much. There was, I don't know how many thousands of bottles there of whiskey, but they had a lot. And then which one we didn't get, which I would love to have, but we were, I think the wives were kind of getting antsy at that point. The 24-year Parker's Heritage, which I've never seen before. I've never seen that bottle.
And it was the old label too. It wasn't like a typical green label.
A lot of, just like the cars in Germany, they're Cold War labels, man. Cold War cars. Yeah.
Even like the Elijah labels. Craig 18 was like the older label, like back, a year ago.
10 years ago, probably. So anyway, that was Warsaw. Great dinner to finish that off before we went to Berlin at number 31. That was a great meal there. That's where we had the sampling of the beetroot soup.
Yeah, that was really good. My wife really liked that. Yeah, so that was actually a very good meal as well. I mean, a little bit, I don't say higher class, but
I think it was
a very good.
I would say it's modern European is what I would call it.
Yeah.
It wasn't traditional. It was more modern.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Traditional cuisine, but definitely worth the price. I thought that was a good, for being a little more expensive restaurant, that was a good price per quality eat.
Hey, you know, that's so ironic because I was applying that and I said the very thing to my wife about that. It's like we can have these restaurants and have, you know, a plate per quality price.
Yes.
So, hey, look at that.
Yeah. So you have your Michelin versus your diner, right?
Right. Exactly.
Those your ends of the spectrum. Don't take that idea. We're working on that, guys. Yeah, that's trademarked right there by the U.S. government.
We're gonna be making plots and, you know, graphs and stuff like that.
So then we made our way to Berlin, where we have an uncle and cousins there. So yeah, took the train over about five and a half hours. Hey, Garmin. Yeah, head on. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's going on, guys? So we walked around the first day there because we got there in the afternoon. Checked in our hotels. We stayed at different hotels. Just walked around, admired the architecture, the huge buildings. The enormity of Berlin is just the culture that they have and the history that they have. So a lot of the buildings are older style Gothic, that some of them have been rebuilt after the war, because a lot of the buildings were destroyed by the US and Allied bombs. But they rebuilt it beautifully, and just so much culture and diversity there. Really liked Berlin. The people were very nice. And this, I'll show you this photo. It's my favorite.
Gary breaks out the history knowledge.
Yeah. That was cool. You know, it was cool.
Gary's a history buff. He actually taught history.
I did. I love this picture right here.
What the hell is that? Are you trying to flex or something?
I don't look at me. Like, I'm just like, yeah. I'm just moving my shirt.
Out your shirt or something?
Yeah. I love that picture. That should be whatever. That looks like Miami Vice right there, man. Tubbs and Crockett. Right there. That's it. I love that picture.
Okay. Do we dare put this on the website, maybe?
I don't know. We'll see.
Hey,
we'll see
how much... Or we can say, here, get your merch here, and we just, you know, pretend that there are, you know, some models, you know, sporting our merch.
Yeah. I love that picture.
So we're both wearing our Real Bourbon Bros t-shirts. I'm not sure. We didn't coordinate it. We just happened to wear them both.
Yeah.
Very nice. What we're doing.
Yeah. I like that first one though. It looked like an action shot. So we'll get some of these photos up. Maybe we'll see. Yeah. And that might be foreshadowing to our future endeavor. We'll keep that on the down low for now. We'll see how things go with behind the scenes stuff. But that was Berlin. We saw Brandenburg Gate. We did a SS Nazi tour of their bunker, which was totally intact and crazy to walk through.
Checkpoint Charlie.
And then I know you left that next day. And then my wife and I, we got to see the Berlin Wall.
Intact.
Yeah, East Wall Gallery. That was really cool. All the new artists putting stuff on the wall. The wall is a lot bigger than you think in terms of height. It's probably like a good 12 foot tall. And what about 8 inches, 10 inches thick?
They only have like 100 meters of the original wall left, right?
Well, I don't know about that because, well, when we went, there's probably about 100 meters. But
that's, I thought I read that somewhere on one of the.
Anyway, we did get to meet our uncle who has been living in Berlin now since what, the 60s, right? 70s. Anyway, he had parts of the wall when it came down in 89 that he actually had collected because he helped bring it down, he said, according to him.
Well, he went over there and chipped it off like every other German.
Yeah. So we got to maybe take a little
parts of the wall off.
We took a souvenir or two home, maybe. So
yeah. Ooh.
I don't even know where that is. I got to ask Tanya where that is.
I got it.
You got it. Okay. Yeah. So But Poland or Germany overall, what were your thoughts on Germany? It's good to catch up with family. We had a couple good, we had a good German traditional meal, but it was a little salty. We had some Glenfarclas 105. I know you liked one.
Yes,
that we were out.
I was going to mention Glenfarclas 105. That's what it's cast strength. You know, it's one of the Highland single malt Scotch whiskeys. And if anyone has tried Glenfarclas 105, it wants to give us your review, I'll give you mine because I'm looking for this bottle. This is one of my sought after bottles now since
we've come
back. That's on the top of my list. I've already been asking around. So,
okay,
what's on your list? Any one that you want to?
Well, I got the Polish edition. That's the one I wanted.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
That was probably the Bushmills 21 or 16. Yeah. I had the 16 when I was there too, but I want to get that 21, but it's like 250. I might be having a trip over to Ireland in October with my wife because she's going to go there for work. So I might tag along for a few days. So I might get there.
Bring a cheaper suitcase with you.
I am. So so the Bushmills 21, I was blown away with. I thought that was probably the best Irish whiskey I've ever had. So, and I've had Redbreast 27 before. So just saying. Good stuff. Anyway, that was our trip. Overall, I thought Berlin and Germany, Berlin we were in, and Poland, they had their differences, but overall everybody was very nice. Obviously, we were probably very obvious that we were Americans because we didn't speak how we spoke, how we dressed, how we walked, how we carried ourselves.
You fit right in.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a great time. The bourbon scene is non-existent. I mean, they'll have some Jack, you know, which isn't bourbon, but they'll have Maker's Mark, Bullet, Woodford, maybe Angel's Envy too.
Except the Dom Whiskey in Warsaw.
Right.
I'm sure there might be some, you know, really
whiskey
fancy
places
that we just didn't hit up. So if you guys know of any in Berlin, let us know.
We did go to the Newton Bar, which was that bar that you had the 105 at, and the naked ladies are all over the walls, which is quite the scene if you're not used to that. They had these walls, the brand new, very plush bar, restaurant, and I would say it's about 12-foot ceilings and leather couches, really nice and modern. So we went in there after dinner one night, we were around, 8:30 for a nightcap, 9 o'clock, and it was pretty empty. Like, it was probably a third full. Within an hour, by the time we were done with our drink, that place, people were fighting over our seats when we got up. It was packed. And you look up at the wall, number one, you look at the menu, and I actually put this menu up on Facebook or on our social media so people could see it. And you look at this menu, and you're looking at the words, and you're like reading everything, and you're like, what is that in the background of the words? It's like all these like four or five naked ladies, like bare naked, like everything.
Gary was googly-eyed.
Yeah, well, everybody was.
Well, it didn't help that, you know, we as, you know, tourists taking pictures.
We're like, oh my God.
And everyone's looking at us like, you idiot.
Yeah, red flag. You guys are tourists.
Oh, look at the pretty lady.
Oh, we haven't seen a naked lady before. And then, we haven't seen one in the middle of the streets, with a 8-foot poster,
So that was on the street outside the bar. There was these posters of these naked ladies. So then inside the bar, they're in the back of the menu. And then at the wall, the walls of this 12 foot ceiling right inside this restaurant slash bar, they were the same ladies. Like they were 12 foot tall, 10 foot tall. These ladies were naked.
It was like a wallpaper pattern.
It was a circumference of the whole room were these naked ladies. I was like, well, what?
It was a subtle design decision.
What kind of place is this? But we had a great time. Yeah. Where would we find these ladies as? Is this extra? No. They were quite entertaining there. We were quite entertained by them anyway, vice versa. Great experience. I'd definitely go back. A lot more to do. We haven't got to the hometown in Poland of where we were from, our family's from, I should say. So something on the list.
We picked a few Polish words up, a few German words up. Although
Dzień dobry.
Dzień dobry.
There you go.
Na zdrowie.
That's like cheers. You know, so
of course I spoke a little bit of German, but it was a great time. Very, very good time. A lot of, you know, European vacations are slightly different than like your tropical vacations, right? So
Well, it's definitely different culture. And this is what I was telling my friends at work. They're asking about it. It's like, you have to go to experience, and I would recommend everybody go to Europe. It's just a different way of life. And what's like kind of summarizes it for me is the sense of community. We were going to all these different touristy areas in Poland, and all the tour, they had a lot of these field trips, and all the kids from the age of kindergarten all the way up to middle school we saw on these field trips. And when they walked, they were in tandem, two people holding hands. Nobody was on their phone.
Yes.
So well behaved. And I was like, we don't have this in the US. Like I've never seen it that well behaved, and they're not on their phone. They're talking to each other. Even when we went out to restaurants as adults, I did not see a family and their kid all on their tablet or on their phone. You see that in the States all the time. Yeah. They were talking to each other. They might've looked at their phone once in a while, but they were engaged with each other. And I think our country, not again, our soapbox, is lacking that.
Although a lot. I have to debunk that just a little bit on our overnight flight or overnight plane, a train. Shit.
Oh boy. He's drunk, folks.
cut
him off.
So there was a lady and two of her daughters, and that daughter stayed on her phone the entire time for like Prague to Krakow. And
I didn't see it.
So anyway, I know you didn't see it, but I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just horrible too. That's another time for another story.
All right. Well, we have more stories, guys. We're going to wrap this up. We're at 52 minutes or so here, rolling in deep. I know we could talk about this trip. We have a lot more anecdotes that we will bring up in our future podcast. I'll get some social media visuals out so you guys can see what we're talking about. But like, subscribe, follow us on social media. And anything else, my man? How's the Ezra Brooks?
My Ezra.
How is it?
Really quickly, I like it, for one thing.
Drum roll. He likes it. Surprise.
No, you can taste the finishing in there, a little sweetness, and you know, from the port wine cask. It's only 99 proof, but the nose is maybe a 3.1, 3.2.
Ooh, yeah. Go. So you slamming it as we speak. Give us a little taste on the palate and finish.
And I think overall, the palate on there, again, 99 proof, but it's got some flavor to it. It's a sweet. You can taste the port and the finish. A little bit of caramel on there, vanilla, a little bit of maybe leathery taste, but I would say, you know, a solid, you know, 3.5.
So good for mixing, good for sipping, and if you're in a bind, good for your wedding. All right, guys.
Add that to the
whiskey scoreboard. By the scoreboard.
I got to do the scoreboard, the whiskey scoreboard, the scoreboard. Yeah, the scoreboard. I'll have to do that.
Maybe I'll say a 3.3. That's
boy, he's ringing on his score.
Because I got the finish coming in, and the finish is dry. It's not as
If it's dry, you just need to drink more.
Well, that's true. But averaging, I would say a 3.3.
All right, 3.3. All right. That's your tip of the day. If you have a dry palate finish, drink more. All right. With that, man. Guys, later, and giddy up.
Yep. Enjoy.